Elijah and Elisha. Yeah. And they're just great men of the Bible. And we want to know something more about them.
Yeah.
This man Elijah is not only in the Old Testament, but he's also in the New Testament. And we were touching it Sunday night, where he, towards the close of the Old Testament, in the fifth chapter, the fourth chapter of Malachi, he's mentioned there, and in the fourth chapter of Malachi, it says, I'll just read it. "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, said the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch," you can read, "nor branch, but unto you." See that? This is a special unto you. "That fear my name," that's the name of the Lord, "to you that fear my name." Malachi 4, verse 2 now. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness," this is Jesus Christ, he's a Son of Righteousness, "to you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up," growing up into the kingdom, things of God, increasing, "shall grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked," when he comes at the second advent. That will be the day of our vengeance. See? First coming was the day of salvation. We're going through that period of salvation. This is the day of salvation. But now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. You miss this, then you're carried into the day of vengeance without a hope. Because it's unto you that fear my name.
Yes.
If you notice that, it's unto you, to them that fear his name, to you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall feet. When? In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Then verse 4 is a powerful verse, says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold," then read verse 5 now. Everybody, you have your Bible reading it? Look at that, read it out loud. "Behold, I send Elijah." Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. That's a promise of God, that if you're listening, pay attention, focus. It's a promise of God that he will send the prophet Elijah. But Elijah Look how far back in the Old Testament he is. Elijah. And many, many hundreds or even the thousands of years since Elijah was here. And he surfaced again. And we know that he was taken up in a whirlwind to heaven. But then we see this man again on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 chapter with Moses and Jesus. And then Jesus spoke about him before the Mount of Transfiguration. About Elijah when he was sustained by a widow woman in Zarephath. He was sustained by a widow woman, and how there were many widows in Israel, but he was not sent to into any of them, unto any of them. I mean, this is awesome, and this is amazing what God is doing. Awesome. And we need to pay attention to it. And then Paul mentioned about in the, I think it's in the 11th chapter. We're just touching these here. 11th chapter of Romans. And I'll get to there in a minute. The 11th chapter of Romans, and then James chapter 5. Spoke about him. And he's to return. And in verse 5, what's going to happen? Look at verse 5. Let's read that. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, Jesus also spoke about Elijah, with John the Baptist. But he said, if you can believe, this was the Elias or Elijah which were to come. But when they asked John the Baptist, are you one of the prophets? I think they asked him, are you also Elijah? And he said, no, I'm not. Well, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. See, and the spirit of Elijah, John had the spirit of Elijah. He came in the spirit of Elijah, but he was not Elijah. So this goes on in awesome prophecy. And give you the mind of God for the end time. And we know what God is. We have a better knowledge of what God is going to do as we look into the life of this man and his ministry and what he did. So he says in verse 5. I like this. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here's his work. Here's what he's going to do. Read it. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the hurt with a curse, lest I come and totally destroy everything. Do you understand what a powerful ministry that this man has? And we need to job that he has, and his work is not yet finished. He was caught up in, I think, 2 Kings, chapter 2. We'll get there eventually, but he was caught up in a whirlwind. But his work is not over yet. We see him many, many times that here Malachi. And Malachi gave this prophecy after the return of Judah out of Babylon, and they were going through a lot of sorrows and discouragement and persecution, and some turned to God and some would not turn to the Lord. But there were some among them that really feared God. In Malachi, let me go to Malachi chapter 3, down to verse 16, I think it is. Let's just go touch verse 16. And we can read that in Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that fear the Lord. You see that word fear? Remember we touched that? It's still in Malachi about unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth as grow up as calves of the stall, and he shall tread down the wicked. And then verse 4 says, remember ye the law of Moses. See, the fear of God. How do you fear God? Through the word. There's no other way you're going to know how to fear the Lord but through the word. So when they came out of Babylon, there were some that did not fear, but there were some that feared God. And verse 16, and they that fear the Lord, this is what they did. Do you know why you're in church tonight? Amen. Why are you in church tonight? Because you have a fear of God inside of you. The fear of the Lord. And he says, and they that fear the Lord spake often. Notice you don't just once in a while, but often. In the New Testament, they met daily. Daily. They searched the scriptures daily because of the fear of the Lord. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book, praise God. Hallelujah for that book. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord. And that's what we need. That's what the church need. That's what we need in our lives. The fear of the Lord, which is wisdom, the beginning of wisdom. It says that then a book of remembrance was written before him. That's the Lord. For them that fear the Lord and notice that word thought. There's a little number there. Thought. Meditate. Thought. Just for a second. For them that thought on his name, right? Yes. For them that thought, meditate on his name. See, you have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's not just when you walk into a church building, you try to begin to think about the Lord. But it's a lifestyle for you. Amen. Then that fear the Lord. Amen. Speak often one to another. Talk about him. You know, you sit down, you want to talk about the Lord. Every chance you have, you want to talk about the Lord. And they speak often one to another. And the Lord, the Lord hearkened and heard it. The Lord heard it and he hearkened. When you speak about the Lord, he will hear your prayers and he will answer. The Lord heard it. Praise God. Don't you want God to hear you when you pray? I get excited when God, When you cry to the Lord, this poor man cry. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord. And he hearkened and heard me. And what does he do? And he delivers you from all your troubles. Now these people were in bondage after they came out of Babylon. And this was long after Elijah's time. Okay? But Elijah got there somehow. Because Elijah was already gone. They spent 70 years in Babylon. And then they came back. And but there was some of them that turned to the Lord. And some of them that in fear and respect, they turned to God and they would study the Bible. They would read the law of Moses. Yes. And the Lord's hearken and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written for before him for all those that fear him. Note these. And thought. So I want to show you thought. Not your thought, but his thoughts. In other words, you're going to put your thoughts as secondary to his thoughts. You meditate daily. Okay, the Psalms tells us about in his law. You meditate. Your thoughts. God is in your thoughts. You have him in your thoughts. Hallelujah. You're thinking about the Lord. For those that thought on his name. You shouldn't let a day go without thinking about the Lord. I was going to say you shouldn't let an hour go. He should be always in your mind. You should always be thinking about the Lord. And Elijah is the spirit of Elijah is going to come and appear to this latter day church to people that fear God and is thinking, meditating upon the Lord. I mean, daily. We speak about the Elijah's ministry or the spirit of Elijah. But notice here, it's those that thought upon the Lord, was thinking. When God sent him to anoint Elisha, what do you think Elijah was doing? He was plowing, but his mind was on the Lord. Amen. His mind was on God. Amen. And this I like this in here in Malachi when they where was that? Yeah, go back to 16:17 verse. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. They shall be mine, they're mine. Who? The ones that fear him. Think now. The ones that stinking on the Lord. You're meditating upon the Lord. Yes. Not just a thought every now and again, but Jesus become the center of your life. Yes. The word of God is everything to you. Amen. They that fear the Lord, they meditate upon his words day and night. The psalmist says, they shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Now, verse 17. And they shall be mine. Let that sink in your heart. You belong to God. God says you're mine. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my... Notice what they are. They're my jewels. Notice what they are. When I make up my jewels, What does it say? They're special treasures. Well, you ought to be shouting. You are the special treasures. And don't let the world make you feel like you are a nobody. You are a special treasures. They shall be, notice here, is the Lord speaking, and they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. You belong to Jesus. When the devil comes around and lying to you and telling you you're nobody, you don't belong to it, here's what the word of God says. You show him this scripture, who you belong to. It's not important. Somebody say, what church you go to? What church you belong to? Listen, you belong to Jesus. You belong to the church of the firstborn. You belong to that church where God is the head of that church. Jesus is the mediator. In Hebrews chapter 12. Church of the firstborn. You belong to the church of those that fear the Lord. You belong to the church of those that is calling on the name of the Lord. That is always thinking about the Lord. Not about yourself. Notice, it's those that fear the Lord thought about the Lord, not about self. You found a church where everybody is thinking about themselves. You will not find the Spirit of God moving. But you find a church where it's God first. You put the Lord first, and you'll find out. So, see, they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, and in that day, when I make up my special treasures, my precious treasures. I mean, you and I, we were the treasures hid in a field. And when he found us, he gave everything for us. He found us and we found him. For those that thought,
hallelujah.
Notice, that's powerful, on his name. And you begin to think on his name, it's a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Hallelujah. And are saved. See, and they shall be mine. If you ever begin to, you know you're wanted. You know you belong to someone. You might not belong to anybody on the earth, but you belong to the Lord God of heaven, and you will belong to Jesus. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will, what? Spare them. Spare them. Spare me, Lord. As a man, spare it. His own son that serveth him. Then shall he return. See, the second advent is coming back again. Then shall he return. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Then shall he return. He's coming back. Just ahead of us. He's coming back, and then he's going to send Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. But we don't have to fear the great and dreadful day of the Lord, because We belong to him. The second coming of the Lord, we don't have to be afraid, because for us, he's not coming to destroy us, but he's coming to collect his jewels, his precious treasures, and they shall be mine. He's coming back to collect his precious treasures. The Lord said it. Then shall he return. That's nice. And discern. You see, nobody can fool him. That's when every man's work will be tried. He will discern between the righteous and the wicked. There's only two people. You either righteous or wicked. There's no in between. He's coming back to discern, and everybody's going to know whether you're righteous or not. Now we can pretend and cover up. So you need to get all of that stuff off of your heart. You need to make those changes and give up. Because that's what the ministry of Elijah is, is to turn their hearts of the children. Turn their hearts of the Father. In other words, to turn their hearts to the Word of God, to the law of God, to the law that God gave. He will discern, return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked. So, but you don't have to worry, because now, I mean, we are the righteousness of God through him. And our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because we don't trust in self-righteousness. We trust in his righteousness. The only way that you can be righteous is faith in Christ. Being justified by Jesus Christ, washed in the blood, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Put off the old man, putting on the new man. See, that work of sanctification and justification has to be done in our lives. Have you been washed in the blood? Okay? Have you been cleansed and filled with the Holy Spirit? He's coming back to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Between, look at this. Look at that. Between him that serveth God. Read it out. Come on, pay attention. Read it out. Shout it out. Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. See, the Elijah's ministry when he was on Carmel was, you had the false prophets, and you had the true prophet. And he said, why halt ye between two opinions? I mean, if Baal, he said, be God, go ahead and serve Baal. But if God be God, serve the Lord. So you cannot alt between two opinions. You've got to be on the Lord's side. If God be God, serve him. But if Baal be, serve Baal. And the people wasn't sure. They kept quiet. They wasn't sure. But an Elijah's ministry came in and says, you go ahead and put on your little religious show. I know you've got the large choir, you got a large church, and I'm not knocking churches, big or small. This is a lesson. But you got everything. But that doesn't mean your precious jewel. There's got to be something in the hearts. There cannot be a halting. You can't have a question mark where you're not sure. So you're halting. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, praise God. We will serve the Lord. You've got to get to that place where you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord, He is God. So, what was Elijah's ministry? To show who was right, who was God, and to show those that were serving God and those that were not serving the Lord. And Elisha said, go ahead and build your altar. And, you know, we touched the lesson the other day. We'll get back to those things. But when he built the altar, what did he do? He cried. He restored the altar. And something has got to be restored in our lives. We've got to restore that relationship between God and us. That if God is God, let's serve Him. We've got to serve Him beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm sure I know in whom I believed. So there's going to, I mean, a wonderful spirit is coming to the church. That's what the Bible said. And now in then it goes into 4. But down in verse 4, is that where we were? Chapter 4, verse?
Chapter 3.
Yeah, we finished chapter 3 there. Then go to 4, go back to 4. And it says that, verse 4. Remember ye, there's something here. Here's it. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Oreb, for all Israel, with one, the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophets before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, you remember that Moses and Elijah did not live at the same time. But Moses and Elijah met. The law and the prophet. Okay, I don't have time to get into it right now, but you remember when Elijah ran away from Jezebel. And go to chapter 19 of 1 Kings quickly for me. And I pick a few verses out there. And then Sunday we'll get into it. But in chapter 19, I need it up there quickly.
Verse 9.
But notice how he ran away. Okay, he ran away from Jezebel. Okay? Because he was afraid she said she was going to kill him. And the journey was so great. But then he went and he came thither into a cave. Remember before, but before that he was fed by an angel. Was it? He sat down under a juniper, a broom tree. Look at verse 3. Let's move around here quickly. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. He went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. Verse 4, quick. But he himself went another day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, oh, can you imagine what he was going through? He's praying to die. It's enough. It's enough. Now, oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Then what did what do you do when you're tired and down? You just give out, go to bed. And as he lay down, he lay and slept under a broom tree, juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and the cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and late he went right back to bed. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Remember, he ran away from Jezebel. And if you don't understand and think, you might say, think he just went a few little miles. He went just about this point. He had traveled a distance of probably over 100, 150 miles. Amen. And then, that was not all. He had about another 200 miles to go. That's why the angel says, the journey, read it again. The journey is too great for thee. So, you have to have the strength to go that other extra distance that he was going, because he was really going to Horeb. And he arose and did eat and drank and went in the strength of that meat 40 days. So where he was, he still had 40 days walking. And these were rugged areas. But he was heading to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. Hallelujah. You got that. Bear that in mind. And he came and verse 8?
And he arose,
he did eat and drank, and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb. Notice the Mount of God. And I don't have time tonight, but Moses was at this very spot. Moses was at this very spot. So here was Elijah and met with Moses and the Mount of Transfiguration. And now look, before that, he was actually heading, and he was there at the Mount of Horeb, which is the Mount of God. Bear that in mind now. Next verse. And he came either unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What are you doing here? What doest, Elijah? What are you doing here? It's like somebody said, what are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing here? okay. Moses was also here. And don't forget that Moses met God right at this very mountain. I wish I had time. We'll get Sunday. Moses met the Lord at this very moment when he saw the back part of God. He wanted to see the face of God. No man can see me and live, but he saw the back part. So here was Elijah, and God says, what are you doing here? And he said,
I
I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Throw down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand, notice, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. What happened to Moses? Wasn't Moses says, there's a place by me. There's a rock, a place by me. And you shall stand on the rock. In Exodus 33 and 34, we'll go there. But not, we don't have time tonight. And when God passed by, he says, the Lord, he's God, right? So here now, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after that, a still small voice. And it was so, read on, come on. When Elijah heard it, that, notice what he did, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? Read on. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return. Notice now, he's got to go back the same way now he came. All those miles. The way to the wilderness, to Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael, king of Syria, then Jehu, the son of Nimshi, verse 16, thou anoint king of Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophets in thy room. Because he was going to be taken away when the trip was completed. All right, now. You understand that about the same mountain? Same locality?
Yes.
Where Moses saw and had his encounter with God? The Mount of God, Horeb? And Elijah went right there. What are you doing here? Then before you know, they met upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses in... Okay, I need to go back to Malachi quickly. I'm trying to put them together, and then I go back in closing in the 19th chapter of the First Kings. Now, we want to go back to verse... is it 4? For you to get it. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here's what he's going to do. The ministry of Elijah. the ministry of Elijah, just like how he turned them on Mount Carmel.
Yes.
He's going to turn them back to the law that he received at Oreb.
Amen.
Remember, I didn't say on Mount Sinai. I said at Oreb. Okay. There's a law that was given there when Moses had a contact with God.
Amen.
Show me thy glory.
Yeah.
And this law was a law that brought a glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The law was that law. Remember, the hurt will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covered the sea. And here was Elijah went there. Moses saw the glory of God. And Elijah went there, and now he saw the glory of God.
Yes.
In the same place where Moses had it.
Yes.
And now they were also on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Amen.
In the glory.
Hallelujah.
In the glory that they both had.
Yes.
Horeb. They saw that glory.
Hallelujah.
Moses was there, and Elijah was there.
Yes.
And then he saw the Lord pass by. The fire, the wind blowing the rocks and all that. But God was not there. But he was in a still, small voice. Now Elijah is to return. And the spirit of Elijah. And he's to come back with a law. But it's a glorious law that is to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water cover the sea. But God says, before the great and dreadful day, he will send Elijah the prophet to turn the father's heart and the children to that God, to that glory. So we need to remember the law are the glory that was given to Moses, the glory that Moses saw. Elijah saw that glory, and Jesus brought that glory, and the disciple says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Hallelujah.
And the knowledge, that church is to be filled with that glory.
Hallelujah.
And that's why tonight we are going from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So Elijah is to come before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And then what's going to happen? When they saw the glory on Mount Carmel, their hearts were turned. And they say, the Lord is God. And when that glory is displayed, it's going to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. That's include you and I. Amen. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Lest if this didn't happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If it didn't happen, lest I come, and when I come, there's no glory. When I come, the hurt has not received that glory. But Elijah will be sent to preach and to minister to the people of God. And that glory and that knowledge, amen, is to be passed on.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But the curse will not no more smite the earth, because